Okay, this turns off his zafut. Let's begin from this halacha. So when it comes to this issue of ona, meaning there's a certain threshold, as we said, beyond which we'd either be bitul metach, or at which we said they could return the ona itself, or bitul mekach, that only applies to certain things, but other things it does not apply to. And that's learned from the psukim, which is v'chitim kormin kamala mitecha, or kanama yada mitecha, which is hadavek nami yad liyad. So the Torah refers to certain things that are transferred from one to the other. That would exclude karaka, which is not handed from one person to the other physically. Obviously, can't be. Also, avadim always, I'm reading the Panemosha here effectively, sorry, that which connects, avadim always connect to karaka. They usually share the same din. And also, yitzur shtar, also contracts themselves, documents themselves. V'chitim mimkar, meaning davar shegufo machur v'gufo kanui. Meaning something whose actual physical object is sold from one to the next versus a shtar, which ain't good for mammon, meaning all a shtar is, it gives someone a legal power to do something, but it's not good for mammon, right? It's what's implied by the document that allows it. So that's why I exclude those things. I was looking at a few other things up before the shir. Before we, by the way, we're discussing time limits. If you remember the way we were discussing the time limit in terms of when someone can claim back or na'ah, we said that it was because beyond that time, people are usually mevatel after that point. We say it's like give it up. However, I saw interesting another explanation with in the Sefer HaChinuch. He explains that no, it's just that we have to give a time limit to these type of things, otherwise commerce can't function. I mean, if something go back on a deal that was done 5 years ago and this product's rechanged hands 3 times, everything will be a mess. So it's what he says it's more of a like a practical reason in that sense, just for the benefit of commerce, which is interesting. Anyway, but so like a bit of a tangent, but let's go back to here. So what are the things excluded? That's avadim, shtarot, karkor, ve'hekdesh. Okay, as I explained, hekdesh is the next one as well, because that's not amitecha, or the pasuk says achiv v'lo hekdesh, same type of thing. Okay, now ein lo tashlumi kefil. Similarly, the other exclusions I think we discussed in the past is that so hekdesh doesn't apply to paying back double or abra v'chamisha. We saw those 2 gears. That's I mean, Arba v'chamisha is if it was an animal and he stole it and then shechted it or sold it on. Shomer chinam eino nishpa v'nosasacha eino meshalem. So these 3 things are also excluded from the case of a shomer chinam that doesn't have to make a shvua that he wasn't negligent in the care of these items, these things. And similarly, nosasacha. Rabbi Shimon says, however, he differentiates. He says, when it comes to kodshim, shu chayev ba'achriyotan. If you remember, there's 2 types of ways someone can bring a korban. One sense said, hurry, I lay it on me. And therefore, if the animal is lost or some dies along the way, it's to bring back a replacement. So it says, as soon as there's a chiyuv achrayut on a korban, it becomes like his mammon to the extent that it's no longer the exclusion of hekdesh doesn't apply. So therefore, you could have ona, you could have tashlumi kefil, and all these other things. However, if it's v'she'enu chabei achrayut, if he just says this animal's a korban, meaning if it dies, then that's it, game over, you don't have to do anything anymore. Well, that's considered mamash, that was a property hekdesh, and that's what's covered by the pasuk. That's the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yehuda says, there's other items as well that Onah doesn't apply to, which would be, for example, Af Sefer Torah or Behemah u'Margalit. Ein lehem Onah. You have to understand why that would be. Sefer Torah, we know, Margalit is a precious gem, or even an animal. So Amru also says, no, Amru ela elu et elu. And when the Chachamim described certain things that Onah doesn't apply to, that was the complete list, which is Karka, Avadim, and Shtarot, and not other items. So we have to understand what's going on behind this debate. So that's why the Gemara goes down and fleshes it out by quoting a Braita. So Zeid Rim Sheinu Hanaya. So Tana Rabbi Yehuda Mer Af Sefer Torah Behemah Margil Ena Ona. Why Sefer Torah Ain Ketzel Damav? There's no upper limit when it comes to Sefer Torah. There's no standard going price. It sounds like he's understanding Sefer Torah. People, in other words, if a beautiful Sefer Torah, people are willing to pay whatever they need to pay for it. So they're willing to pay way above the dollar, the actual value, if you like. But Behemah Margilit Tzorchim Lezavgam. What's interesting is sometimes people will have let's say they've got already a good animal to plow. And to make it semit, to make a pair of animals to plow, you need to match it up pretty much perfectly or as close as possible. Because if you've got a good animal and a bad animal, the good animal suffers as a result. It's about like having, it's like a bit like having bad wheel alignment. It can ruin your tires and other things. it can be detrimental. So therefore, a particular animal that's a perfect match for you, you're probably willing to pay greater price than the average other purchaser to get it. So therefore he says there's no one out for that. Similarly with Margalit, some sort of gem. There's a piece that fits exactly your collection perfectly. Or, I don't know, a pair of earrings. You've got one to match the other one. For you, you're willing to pay far above the market value because for you, it has a greater value. That's what Rabbi Yehuda says. Rabbi Yehuda says, so therefore, you can have other metalton objects that onah doesn't apply because a person's willing to pay well above market value for these items. Okay? Amrullah, Chachamim said, no. Halua kol adam rotze lezaveh. It could be many other things. It could be like a dinner plate from your set that you just now short a couple, that also for you will be of greater value and you're willing to pay higher than market value because you're willing, because if you're, if it's, you know, it's a, it's end of a line and you're worried they're not going to produce anymore and you want to increase your dinner settings, you're going to also want to pay more, Chachamim says. So, like, why you limit, if you're going to already open the opportunity for certain items, there's no end to it. Everything could be considered like that. Cutlery, anything you like. So they are tiny Rabbi Yehuda ben Terma, but obviously it seems to be that while that might be true to an extent for other items, Rabbi Yehuda's other opinion when it comes to these particular items, people are willing to go way above. Now that's how you'd probably have to understand Rashida Rabbi Yehuda. Whereas Chachamim says, forget it. Like, you know, or now would apply to these things as well. Now, Tana Rabbi Yehuda ben Terma, Saif, also Rabbi Yehuda ben Terma says, a sword, a horse, a shield, Saif, Sus, Taris, in a time of war. There's no Anaya there because the time of war, these are necessities. Someone's life is dependent on it. So Onah doesn't apply during a time of war for these weaponry. That's opinion of Yehuda Mimatera. Whereas I presume the Chachamim would disagree and they said this price gouging is price gouging. You know, like that's Onah. I'm sorry. It could be the market rate goes up, but that's fine. That's a market rate. But it doesn't mean you can charge a person well above whatever the market rate would be. Okay? Well above, as we said. Fine. Now, this is now halacha zayin. So famously, just as there's ona'a, which you said this is like a fraud or corruption in that sense for mekach umemcha, so do you find you can have this in speech as well. How so? So it says, lo yomer lo bekama chafetz zeh v'hu ein rotzeh likach. Someone can't go to a shop and say, oh, how much does this cost? When he has zero interest in buying it. Okay? Now, what's interesting here is why is that? One is because it, like there's different ways of understanding why there's honad dvarim. That would be example one. So one understanding is because you're getting the person's hopes up, and because you're getting his hopes up, and then he's gonna and you've got no interest in doing it. That's the we're talking about the emotional impact. There is another understanding as well. For example, the Meiri says it's got nothing. It's not well. It's not nothing to do with it. But the issue is you go into the store. You say, how much is it? The guy says it's worth X. And you're on real interest. So he's really, he's going to now say, okay, I'll give it to you for less. Other people in the store might see, and it will actually end up working to the detriment of this seller that he's acting to have to reduce the price or it makes it look like the product's not good. Whatever it is, it seems to be that your expression of interest when there is no interest and the and what will result as a result and what will follow after that can have a negative impact. It's interesting, we had one of these shaylas at the Shabbos table, like doing halakhic shaylas at the Shabbos table. And the question was, one of these summer camps wanted to do a scavenger hunt in a supermarket. Okay. So this could be issues and honat dvarim as well. Meaning, like, there are these people going into the store and they're not interested in buying anything. But also, could also be the other side of all the detriment. You know, other shoppers don't want people with all these little kids running around in their summer camp, you know, running through the aisles, filling up lists. Could also be the detriment on our dream. So it could be issues of on our dream here, though. Even if they buy a drink on the way out, what about the other side? The other side of the detriment. Well, there's this discussion we had, but anyway, a bit of a tangent here, but fine. Let's continue. Im haya bal tshuva, another type of onat dvarim. Is if it's someone says, let's say someone is a bal tshuva. Lo yomar li, cannot say zochum asecha. Do you remember what you were like in your younger years? You're a real crazy guy and all these other things, the things you did. That's also an advarim. So here it seems to be an emotional thing that's happening. Even ben gerim lo yomar lo zochum asecha. If he's a ger, then say, you don't remind Nesirim of his what his parents did or where he came from in that sense, because that could also be a it could be causing pain. It says, you're not allowed to wrong a ger, you cannot cause him anguish, if you like, oppress him, sorry. Ki the Torah says this specifically. Now, other this now with Gemara was going to discuss is other, you know, bad business practices. Ein ma'aravim peirot bepeirot. You're not allowed to start mixing products. So the example is, say, let's say I'm trying to sell nice sort of the difference when it comes to grain, just important to understand behind this Mishnah, is when it's older, it's drier and it produces better wheat. That's from what I understand. Now, so therefore, you cannot mix different grain, new and old, under the assumption you're selling one type because you're effectively misleading the person. He thinks he's going to be able to, from this volume, he's going to have a certain amount of wheat and he won't be able to. So it's lying, right? It's cheating in business. But even if it's this two different types of good ones, clearly not chadashim, clearly not mixing in like new into old, because that's clearly stealing. Okay, next it says be'emet b'yayin, when it comes to wine, itirulev kasher barach mipnei shumash. So I'll just explain here. When it comes to wine, sometimes it is okay to mix two different types of wines because it will actually improve the taste of a harsh and a soft or whatever like types of flavors. So again, Marapulda says here, kasher mashpiach, because kasher mashpiach, it improves it. Even if he says, I want to give you this a softer wine, you can mix in some kasher, but specific kasher barach, but not rach be kasher. Because if pasakim or kasher, if you wanted to give him a harsh, like a sharp wine, mixing in rach would be detrimental to and cheating the person out of what you promised to sell him. Okay? Now, ein ma'arvim shmarei yayin b'yayin. Again, mostly when they sold wine, it would have shmarim as well. So you can't start. So topping it up by mixing other shmash from sediment, other sediment into a wine. It's cheating. Aval no ten lo shmara, but the actual natural sediment that was part of the wine that was pressed, there's no problem there because that's normal as part of the spell and expected. Next, if someone diluted their wine, you cannot sell it lo im ker b'chanut, elin ken in a shop, unless you make explicit that this is a watered down wine. Okay? Then you're not
In
misleading me.
America. In America, they sell orange juice pulp to make it look as if it was freshly squeezed. So what you're saying is that wouldn't be allowed?
Well, it depends. I mean, again, it sounds like here, even if it's watered down, if you put on the label on the front, pulp added or water diluted or whatever it is on the thing, then the person knows what they're buying. Right? I think it's
Okay.
if you're upfront, then it's fine. The problem is when you're misleading. Lo la
Reconstituted.
tagar. However, you can't sell watered down wine to a tagara merchant, because we're concerned in that situation. I'll show you here. Lo la tagar lo imkar biyachad. You should not sell it up or pishu ma even later. Another pishu ain't a lokha el laramot v'lo mochal bechanot, because we're scared that in the chain of events before it goes as it goes down, it's going to be used to mislead people. In other words, if it's direct to consumer with knowledge, with upfront just full disclosure, then it wouldn't be a problem. Makom shenahagulit latil ma'im yatil. However, if that is the standard practice to dilute the wine by a particular quantity, then that's fine. Because that's standard practice. Okay? And the concept of standard practice, we're going to come back to a few times. Again, this is a trader. He can collect from five different gorens, threshing floors, and put it in one megura, one stall place. Or four, five different presses, and collect all the wine into one barrel. That is provided that he's not mitkaven la'arev. So just explain the meaning. I show here the Barafulda says, mushubach. He can't be under, like giving the impression that he's only taking from grade A fields. However, what he's doing is ma'arev from B's and C's as well, deliberately. The Shein of Sovrim and his neighbors are under the impression that he's only collecting grade A. Okay, in other words, if he's a merchant, but traders and merchants, they collect from all manners, it's fine. But if he's giving the wrong impression and is acting differently to the impression he's trying to give, then that's dishonest. Now, this is interesting. This is when it comes to what's called fair business practice. And it got some debates here. Rabbi Huda says, according to Rabbi Huda, he says, you're not allowed to put out little lollies and sweets or little nuts in those little and parched little ears for children by your store, because what's going to happen? It's going to get the kids to come to your store, and it's going to get the kids will say to their parents, oh, I want to go here. It's like the supermarkets that give the little tchotchkes out to the kids. So the kids, like, listen, Australia was, you have to have these collectibles you get every time you go shopping, and the kids tell their parents, I want to go back to that supermarket to go and collect those things. Havachanami says, Matirim. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. You can do certain, there's nothing dishonest about it. You can do promotional practices that bring people to the store. That is the that's a discussion. And it says, Veloif also, again, a debate between Bihun and Chachamim seems to be, can you do like Black Friday deals? Well, not really Black Friday deals, because that would be a, that was their standard practice. But can you say one of these, they make an incredible sale by reducing the price? Isn't it difficult for the competition and things like that? The answer is, well, according to first opinion, you cannot. Chachamim says, absolutely great. Zachul Latol, fantastic. If you're going to reduce price of the consumers, great. That's, again, you can understand two sides of the debate here. There's Lo Yavorata Grisim, Kidrei Abba Shaul. Abba Shaul says you cannot sift out, it seems to me that grisim in general, or pound, like pound beads, you know, that sift them out of all the spoils, because that will happen in the end. You'll have a premium product, charge more for it, things like that. Lachami says absolutely nothing wrong with it. You can have different grades of product. Okay? None of these things are misleading. It's generating more business, it's doing all these things. Are these fair practices or not? You see the debate. When it comes to sifting these things out, well, clearly you can't just sift away the top layer, because then you're misleading. That's being dodgy. Okay? Because the person buys the whole drawer or the whole container, and what is getting below is not what is advertised to be at the top. When you're trying to sell a product, you're not a mefarkesin. We'll explain what that means soon. So, what it means really, mefarkesin means beautify. So you're trying to sell a product, you're not going to beautify it up. The point is, you're beautifying it in a way that gives a misrepresents the product. That's really what's happening. So you'll see later on in terms of what, where do you draw the line for something like that? Because the Mishnah will, the Gemara will be in many cases where there's nothing, absolutely nothing wrong with doing certain level of improvements. But the cases of Adam, meaning for like an Eved, so you give the impression that this Eved is much younger than he is. Or this behemah, a particular animal, makes it look like it's better and healthier than it really is, or takelim and certain products. So we'll see it as we go through. So it's Kirimonaba Mekachumemka, it's the whole Mishnah. The Gemara now says, Rav Duva Melcha, he was involved in salt. Havar Meshaper Sardavte. Sardavte seems to be his sifter. He says, Hayom Machber Shukrimbot HaMelech, Ad Shenafal HaMelech Min HaMikvar Agul. It seemed to be that he refined his tools in a way that his sifter would produce salt that was round salt. Okay, like a higher grade. So it made it look nicer. So the Gemara said, Amar Le'ev Yaakov Bar Acha Vatanin in the Mefarkasin. Said, well, once again, you're allowed a Mefarkasin at the product you're trying to do, beautify it. So Milte Amra Sheyesh Pirkus Be'ochlim. So you're telling me that you're trying to say that the inyan of Pirkus also applies to food, when the Mishnah didn't seem to suggest that. That's the discussion here. Next, Rav Zera Hava Asik Bahad in Kitna. So Rav Zera used to work with linen. Ata Gabe went to Rav Yehuda Amalei, Ma Ana Meshaper Avidatei. Can I, like, present it in a nice way? Can I make it meshaferle? So he says, Amalei Azel Avid Ma Da'ata Yada. Go and do what you'd normally do in your normal practice. Okay? So in other words, there's nothing wrong with making it appear nice, but it's the misrepresentation of it that might be a problem. Well, you gather, where's the line? That's what seems to be what's where we're working with. So Rav Abahu Habe Asik Be'ilin Lasotaya, which is like some shmatas of some sort, or scarves. So Ata Sha'al Rav Yosef Ben Chanina Amalei Menan Be'ilin Lasotaya. What can I do with those? It's Amalei once the other Aben Madat Yada. You can go and do what would be your normal way of like presenting them. Next, Rabba. Then I add Rabba Shakar Tahar. So this is an interesting expression, what Rabba Shakar Tahar is. The Marfula says, Af zumi divrei Rabbi Yossi ben Hanan is explaining this. Kishtiresh Rabba HaSheker, once you've seen that so there's so much falsehood, Tahar Afata, that enables you to go ahead and do it as well. Now, it doesn't mean because everyone else is doing something wrong, can do something wrong. I don't think so. Why Shahareya call your dear Osim Ken Ve'enatiachi Bedavar? I think what this means is not that because everyone is cheating, you can cheat too. I just think what it means is, since everyone presents their products in such a nice way, it becomes this industry practice to do that. People are aware that it's a nice pressed shirt, and it might, you wear it after 5 minutes, it'll become wrinkled, or things like that. In other words, that seems to, I think what it's saying is that since the industry practice present the linens and the fabrics in such a way, and people are aware that it's not going to be, super crisp the entire time. I think that's what's happening here. Now, Tana Rav Yaakov Amsunaya, Mahu ein mefarkasin. So what are we talking about mefarkasin that you can't do when it comes to an Eved? We says delo yemalat sur garmach, which is we says Barfula explains shelo yomar lo kishonatz machashenera bachur. In other words, it's an old guy, and you tell the guy, put some cream and put some glue on your face to get rid of the wrinkles or whatever, and do 50 push-ups to puff yourself up and make yourself look like a much younger than you are. Whatever it is. That's where it's a misrepresentation. Okay, with that we say Adranach Perak HaKesef Koneh HaZav. Adranach Perak HaKesef Koneh HaZav. Adranach Perak HaKesef Koneh HaZav. Yafeh. Now we do the next perek, which is Ezu Neshech. So here we're talking about the issue of charging interest, which you're not allowed to do. Torah first of all is a Neshech and Tarbit, and the Lashon on the Mishnah, Neshech is actually Doraita and Tarbit is the Rabbanan, even though both Lashon are used in the Torah. Okay, but that's to understand the Mishnah, you have to appreciate the Lashon that the Mishnah uses. So the first is, what's neshech? What is standard interest, which is asur min haTorah? That is hamal v'sela b'chamisha dinarim. So there's four dinarim a seller. You lend someone a particular money, and you ask for more in return. That is standard interest, no good. Next, sa'atayim chita b'shlosha, or you rent someone two se'ah chitin, and you're getting more product back, shlosha. In all the situations, it's mineshu noshech. It's actually interesting. The Lashon of Neshech, I'll just share this that I saw. Generally understanding the Neshech, the concept of interest or compounding interest, something's Noshech. It's like a snake that bites someone. They don't really appreciate the danger they're in, this small little bite until the venom spreads. Like compounding interest, the person gets over the head and dead very, very quickly. However, what I saw interesting that Kliyakar says, what's the issue with net what's the issue with interest? He says the issue is not necessarily with the victim. Yes, of course, it's not fair to the victim, but it's also an issue with the person who charges it. Why? He says the issue with interest is it impacts the person's emunah HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because charging interest is something that guarantees that returns are guaranteed. You can take a collateral to ensure the money's returned. You've got a guaranteed return on your investment, and therefore, there's like it impacts a person's emunah. It's not like someone who has a normal job. He might get fired, he's in a business, doesn't know what's going to happen next month, things like that. But something that's got almost guaranteed returns, that impacts someone's emunah. So he said that's the interest within that. He said that's the issue with interest. Okay, beseder. Now what's this tarbit? Now this takes a little bit of work. It says hamarbit bepeirot, ketzad. So this is someone that when it comes to ribbit here, which is Rabbanan, this is where the interest is effectively coming through a business deal. So it's not explicitly, give me more money than I gave you. That's classic interest. So we're saying is ketzad. What happens is I pay you to provide me with wheat. Zahav. And it's 25 dinar. Okay, which is a dinar zahav. Hakur, for a kur, the chenashar, and that's a price. Now in that situation, there's nothing wrong with what I did. I've paid you a particular price. Even if the value of the wheat goes up, I've given you money. And because that's the price of wheat, if you wanted to, you could go right now, buy that wheat and put it in your storehouse and provide it to me. So that even though it goes up in value, that's not considered ribbit at all. That's considered normal standard practice. There's two ways to explain how that would work. Either you've got the capacity to buy it because the price for wheat has already come out, or you might have it already in your storehouse, and that could also work. So even if the price goes up, it's not considered ribbit if I get more, if the wheat I get back is of a greater value. Okay. So Akur again the Khanashar. Amdu Achitim, now the wheat have gone up to 30 dinar. As I said, there's nothing wrong with this. Amar lo, but I'm now coming. The person outside says, okay, I'd like the wheat now. I've made a profit. I'm quite happy with this profit. I'd like the wheat now because I want to use that those profits. Because I'm going to sell all this, but okay, and I want to buy purchase wine. The problem is now, Amar lo, Arechi Techa Asuim Alai B'Shloshim Dinarim. I'm going to treat it now as if effectively I owe you 30 in wheat. But I'm now going to provide you with wine. The yain ain lo. The problem is that he doesn't have any wine, the person who is about to, meant to give him the wheat. Also, even if there was the shahr, meaning the price of wine has gone out, he doesn't have any money now to go and buy it if he wanted to fill it. So in that situation, the problem is if he's now owing him wine and the value of wine goes up, now he's returning him more in value of wine to this individual. That's considered ribbit midrabanan. Okay? Because again, just to make it clear, I can pay you a certain sum of money to give me to deliver a certain amount of product. That product, even if it goes up in value, is not ribbit, provided that One of two things. One is you either have the product in your house already when I paid you, or you have the funds in your hands now that I've just given you, and you yourself could have gone out and bought it. But if that's not possible, like in this situation where effectively he didn't have any money, because again, he was going to give him the wig, says, no, you know what? I'll just provide you wine instead. In that situation, it's effectively like a loan, and you're going to be giving him back more in value if the value of wine goes up than you were required to give him at that time in terms of value, same volume, but to a greater value. That's ribbit min derabbanan. Okay? Clear. That's good. Now the Gemara says, if someone borrows money from somebody else, the lender cannot live in the chatzar of the borrower. Or he cannot rent from him at a lower rate, because that's effectively the fact he's paying less is interpreted as being like ribbit. It's because you're getting more benefit now by virtue of the fact you've lent another person money. Okay, that's what Misha said. Okay, we've got what to deal with. Let's learn the Gemara. Ezu Neshech, Amar Rebbe Yanai, Zeru Ribbit Shiatzer Benayim. When it comes to Ribbit Minatora, that's something that Dainim can come and say, no, you've got to give that money back. However, by Kamei Rebbe Yochanan says, no, once Ribbit is paid, the person did an Aveira by accepting the interest, also the person paying as well, but it's not something that Dainim can extract. Because they asked him, by Kamei Rebbe Yochanan, they asked Rebbe Yochanan, Rebbe Yochanan, if we allow this, meaning if you're going to say the Dainim can come and collect Ribbit, then the Gdolei min Ashirim, the wealthy people of Israel, will be left with nothing. Because it seemed to be, we're mouthful that all these guys charge interest. But again, his concern is not that we're going to, collect all the money from the wealthy people. It's more an illustration of his position that once Ribbit pays, Beit Din has enough the power to collect that Ribbit back. Modi Rabbi Yochanan she'ein shtar zokek l'chaveiro. And similarly, Modi Rabbi Yochanan she'im hayah shtar kayam menakim leih. Even though you don't have the capacity, there's two things. It's really, you can look at the other, let's do the second one first. Rabbi Yochanan says is that even though you don't, Beit Din has the capacity to go and extract Ribbit out. Beit Din can get involved if the debt hasn't been paid off yet to say that, oh, that Ribbit you've collected, you don't have a right to collect that Ribbit, and we're going to deduct it from the amount that's owed left in the actual principal left in the loan. That's what they can do. However, the first point now, second, but that doesn't work between contracts, meaning all the interest you've paid on this one, or there's another debt, well, we're going to deduct it from that one. Okay, so they can get involved with limits. They didn't, it sounds like, with this ribbit. Now, Ezul Tarbit, the Gemara now says, Tani, Yisro Shiva beribit liYisrael. Einu gova lo ata keren velo ata ribit, divrei Rebbe Meir. Like Rebbe Meir, you've got a contract that person's going to be charging interest. We cancel the entire debt entirely. It's a knas. You shouldn't be charging interest, therefore you can't collect your debt. However, Chachamim says, no, gova ata keren can still connect the principal. However, it's just the ribbit that is not allowed to collect. It's ha ribbit. Ribbit. Okay, Bisita. This is more to discuss when it comes to ribbit, is what Mr. Shendon learned tomorrow. All right, cold tough. Have a good day.